Can I call you Doug or Douglas, Mr. Burke? What do you prefer?
Oh, please call me Doug. It's fine, yeah.
Doug, you're a professor. You're a physics professor. Is that true?
Oh yeah. I teach physics, and I also teach applied physics, which took me into electrical engineering. So I actually teach in the physics department, and I teach also electrical engineering courses.
Wow, and you're also an actor, a martial artist, a filmmaker now, a writer, director.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stop it. You're just too talented, Doug.
No, you really do need to do other things in your job because it's healthy, you know, to
right.
do other things.
Hmm.
And it's all related, you know. Science is really related to your body, and when you're acting, you're really, you know, the whole thing of your brain and your nervous system is all physics, you know. So
right.
it's all tied together, you know.
Right. I was very interested in you talk a lot about in the dialogue of the film anyway, and I gather it's your personal philosophy as well as a lot of talk about spiritual energy.
Yeah, that's a big thing with my son is, you want to teach your kid that there's more to life than just the world that you're in, you know?
Right, right.
Your thoughts relate to your spirit, and if you think of your spirit, then you can activate and magnify the presence of your spirit in your body, and it can actually change your the activity in your body, and we deal a lot with that with trying to get the body to calm down and not be afraid, you know.
Right. I guess the $64,000 question, Doug, is how how do you sort of, at what point did you go from, you know, obviously being very very much a scholar in and physics and engineering and all that kind of thing, how do you go from that to acting and filmmaking? What was your journey in that respect?
Well, it really started when I was very young. I was interested in electricity.
Right.
When I was young, I was in the southern middle Pacific out in the Micronesia. That's where I did a lot of growing up.
Right.
And when there were big storms, it was amazing. You felt really awake.
Right.
And if there was lightning and stuff, you felt it made you feel really awake and alive. And I just remember that having an impression on me when I was really young. And when I later on, I wanted to study electricity because I was interested in lightning. And I really think that the physics of electricity and magnetism mystified me because it's so related to like your spirit's kind of like a bolt of lightning
inside
you. And so I was just a lifelong interest, and I guess, you know, when you study physics, you really, it's not exactly like studying chemistry or, you know, straight engineering, because a lot of people study physics because they really are interested in how the spirit world sort of plugs into the physical world.
Right, right.
I didn't know it, but I found out later that that's what Einstein was really interested in, that how the psyche and spirit plugged into the physics.
Right.
And I found out later that, you know, even Einstein wanted to be an actor, and I didn't even know that till many years later.
Right.
But it's really, I think it's really natural if you study physics and philosophy that, you know, when you study stuff like that, your spirit gets stirred and you get excited and you want to express yourself, you know?
Right.
And
you study
that. I kind of think surfers are that way too. I mean, they get excited, you know, surfing makes them excited, but it's more than just exercise. It's like a real trip, you know, it's a real spiritual thing for a lot
right.
of people.
Did you like the movie Point Break?
Oh, I like Point Break a lot. Yeah. I thought it was cool.
Because it definitely that definitely sounds like that would be up your alley, like the Patrick Swayze character.
Yeah, he was kind of that way, like spiritual guy. Yeah.
Like talking about, you know, accepting the energy of the ocean and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, no, I remember it. I mean, a long time since I've seen it, but yeah, I remember him being sort of like that whole really into that.
Yeah.
And I think we all, like probably up in Australia too, you meet people like that, yeah?
Oh, totally.
Really. I remember watching the, we watch all the World Surf League stuff, my son and I, and it seemed like just a few years, couple, maybe 2 or 3 years ago that the Margaret River was huge, I remember.
Oh, yeah,
during the contest.
Yeah.
I mean, those are like 20-foot plus faces, and those guys, Owen Wright was really cranking out there, I remember that.
But you studied you studied acting at the Strasbourg School.
I was really motivated to learn
the method.
I went there many years ago, and the thing about the method, the Strasbourg method, is they really study when you relax your body and they study memory.
Right.
And memory was so interesting to me that I could be sitting, just in a room and have an emotional memory that seemed so real,
Right.
And I was very interested in that, and I had always been interested in memory. And when I went there and discovered that really it was a study of memory, and methods for, finding your emotional memories to use those when you act.
Right.
It was like I was so happy because I was interested in time going backward my whole life, and that was also tied into acting. In the way I studied physics, and in physics, when you study, like if you study electricity, all the equations for electricity and magnetism have a solution that goes backwards in time,
right.
But we just ignore it because we figure that's impossible.
Right.
But in our memories, I feel like in the resonant closed cavity of the brain, that I think when we have memories, I think the electromagnetic waves in our brain are actually going backward in time, and we're tapping into a place.
Right.
Certainly where you have identities,
Well, I can't.
So, yeah, the Strasbourg method is a real mysterious process.
Totally. Well,
you get lost in,
I can't speak very educatedly about physics because I'm not on par with you there. But as far as studying acting, which I've done, the idea of or the concept of it's as simple as really like when you have a song, like there's a song that you really like, and you listen to the song, and the song triggers a memory, which triggers a moment, which triggers and you get back to that place just by listening to the music. Like you hear some actors have pictures that they look at that triggers, like we were just talking about, memories, which triggers the emotion that they need to get into, for the scene, because some of the stuff that you do in this movie is really hardcore, like emotional stuff, like the pain and, which led me to my next question. There's a moment during your, where you're talking with your son in the film, and he's your son in real life as well, where you kind of go into this different character. I wonder if that was that a story choice or an acting choice. After you you're up against the wall there, and you sort of feel this great pain comes across you, and you grab your chest and you're like, oh,
yeah.
And you go into this you go into this different voice, and then you become almost like Prospero in The Tempest and go into this different place. Was that like a story choice or an acting choice, or?
Well, it was. That's when he pokes at me, he says, "Hey, why is this so important to you?" And then it pushes me into a space, and then that's where the that 10-minute monologue
right,
follows.
Right.
Is that's where you're talking about, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, when I did that, I. the story choice was that monologue, which is kind of like a Shakespearean soliloquy.
Right.
There was a lot of pressure on me because I thought, well, the story choice was that monologue shifts the movie, and it's a huge plot point.
Right.
Where I sort of am trying to push the story to the next level.
Right.
And I'm really handing the film over to him.
Okay.
To my son.
Right, right.
And so it was very emotional, and intensity changed, and I can't say it was an acting choice, but it all just happened that way.
Okay.
Because of the intensity and importance of the moment to sort of, it's just like one big plot point, and I knew that if I didn't do that well, then the movie certainly wouldn't make it, you know?
Right.
I mean, people wouldn't stay and watch him surf.
So
I can't say it was a conscious choice, but when I was doing that, it just was like lightning coming through me. I couldn't stop it, you know?
Right, right. Because literally, then like you said, it does move off into a different a different space there, because then he literally confronts you, your character, as a man really imprisoned within himself. I thought it was really good because it was almost like the yin to the yang, because like you were talking to him about being imprisoned by his fear or trapped by his own fear, and then he meets his father, literally a man imprisoned within himself. Is that what you were going for?
Pretty much. And are you saying proven? Did you say proven to himself?
No, imprisoned within himself, like trapped in himself.
Yeah, imprisoned within himself.
Mm.
Yeah, because at that point, my character is a spirit that's trapped.
Yeah.
And a lot of the intensity is the spirit trying to get free, you know?
Right.
So there's a little bit of absolutely what you said is correct. And there's a little bit of that fight to get free, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And also, you know, it's a tough character, man, because you realize you sort of paint yourself into a corner there.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a ghost, then it's very hard to be believable, you know?
Right, yeah.
And you really start, as an actor, you start to really look for how to express yourself.
Sure.
If you're a ghost.
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like a spiritual Don Quixote, you know? You're crazy and you're a madman, but you still feel pain.
Yeah.
And then you know, the sad part is that you're not everything you think you are, and then you know the rest of the story.
You're right.
But sort of die of melancholy at the end, you know.
But you Well,
you really know a lot about drama, man.
Well, you know,
that's so cool. That's so cool. You really know what you're talking about.
No, but it really struck me on a I guess one of the things that I initially came away with was a very Shakespearean, very almost a Hamlet-like vibe to it, because I mean, let's face it, Hamlet, everything that happens to Hamlet after he sees the ghost of his father or experiences the ghost of his father basically leads him on the journey that he goes on through the rest of the play, because not only is it him experiencing his father's ghost, but also the information that the ghost relates to him about how he was murdered by his now father or his stepfather and so on and so forth. So really, that's what I came away with after the initial viewing. Like, this was a almost like a, you know, if Hamlet was a surfing movie, it's a young man like Hamlet, imprisoned within his own misery, almost, like he's in this miserable rut. And it is then punctuated by not only experiencing the ghost of his father, but learning that his father didn't die, his father was murdered. So there was a lot, I don't know, I got a lot of Hamlet out of it, you know, and a lot of,
wow.
You know, and a lot of the Tempest and stuff like that. Well, like I said, when you go into that other voice, when you deliver that monologue, it was very Prospero, like, you know, this was the Tempest, like the pain, the storm, the energy, all that type of wind and fury signifying nothing, all that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I didn't think of all that when I wrote it. All I was focused on was like, and I do that a lot. I try and focus on what the need is, and my desperate need was to teach all this stuff to my son.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And how do I teach it to him? And literally, I mean, I've been teaching him this stuff for years, but I wanted to put it all into a movie.
Yeah.
So that he would remember it.
Sure.
And so when I was doing it, I would think like, well, my son is going to watch this in 30 years and I'll be gone most likely.
Right.
I'm 55 already. And what am I going to leave him? Will he, maybe he'll watch this again years later and get more out of it, you know? And so
right.
My whole need was to teach and to leave behind these lessons, you know?
Right.
But you're really knowledgeable about that stuff, that Shakespeare stuff.
Oh, thank you, man.
You're right on. Yeah.
Thank you, man. Filmmaking to writing and directing. Did you, I mean, obviously you're a very scholastic cat. Did you go and study, or, because I know you have a bit of a background and interest in improvisational theater. So was it something you just went to? Was it something you went to naturally, or did you, you know, study up on the craft of filmmaking, or did you just feel it?
I didn't study much filmmaking. I studied acting at the Strasberg Institute.
Right.
And I was mystified by memory.
Right.
And if I get where you're going. The mystery of how did all this come to be and all this and everything.
Right.
But basically what it was is I was interested in how and where all the energy came from when I either got excited or had a big memory.
Right.
Emotional memory.
Right.
And it was exciting to me. So
cool.
What I, and not too different than someone who is an addict. I was addicted to acting, and I would do small plays at the Strasberg Institute, and I would get a real high off of it. In other words, I would write poetry and put together a play, and we would do it, and, you know, it was just like real small guerrilla theater in Los Angeles. And what was exciting to me was the feeling that I could get to lift myself out of depression or the mundane nature of my life or whatever. So when you study physics, it's very mental.
Yeah.
And the acting was almost like going to the gym, because I got to do stuff that wasn't related to my work, you know, and it was fun.
Cool.
So it was fun in the way that I would get excited, and I could feel, you know, my brain would make chemicals when I would yell and scream these monologues and stuff, and it was just something I needed to do. And I did it for years. I made some experimental films that were never released. I still have them, you know. And I did it because I just couldn't stop doing it. It's like I said, it wasn't much different than someone who's addicted to alcohol. I was addicted to the excitement I would get when I would perform, when I would act.
Right.
And I wasn't professional. After I was stuck as a professor, so I had to go to work all day. Couldn't really go on auditions or these other things. And I did this for years and years and years. And then along comes my son, and I get full. He goes with me full time, and I start taking him surfing, and I sort of left the films and stuff behind, you know, because I get to be like, I guess my son was born when I was 40,
right?
39 or 40, and I would start. I wanted to teach him surfing because I was a surfer, and I never had any recording of me surfing. Yeah. My whole life, no one ever filmed me surfing. So I started filming him surfing, and it was fun, and we kept going and going along. And pretty soon, I started to see a story of him as he's surfing. It looked like there was a story being told over a few months, and I thought, well, maybe I'll make a silent movie of him surfing and see where it goes. And so I just kept filming him. And then it got to be many years of footage, and then he started surfing these giant waves. And when he surfed the really big waves, I thought, I don't want to make it a silent movie. No one will watch it. I ought to go back and try and make a real movie, you know,
yeah.
So that people watch him surf. And then I went back in. I had already been doing the acting thing for years and years and years, and writing plays, and so I put something together. And that's what you have. You have this movie, you know. But I have there's 9 years of surf footage before I put the thing together in their dramatic story. There is a scene in the movie where he's only five and we have dialogue.
Right.
And that wasn't shot to be in Surfer. That was shot for another movie. It was a dream sequence that I shot for another movie that I never finished. And I saved the footage, and I forgot about it.
Right.
And he was five, and then when he was 14, and we started filming, we filmed all the footage for Surfer, all the dialogue, and then I came across this box, and I looked at it. I go, oh yeah, that's old footage of Sage from this other movie that I was gonna do, and I went and looked at it, and it fit into the story that we had as a memory.
Right.
And so we ended up using it, you know. But that's sort of how the whole movie came about. It was originally a silent movie, and then when he rode the really giant, you know, the giant waves, I thought, we ought to try and make a dramatic movie so that people will maybe not just, you know, people watching a video on the internet in the surf community, but maybe the whole world will want to see. And so that's when I figured, okay, let's try and write something, and we end up with Surfer.
Yeah, no, truly, truly fascinating stuff. I have to say the most quotable line, when I read a bit of press before I watched the film after David offered me the opportunity, the line, I'm made up of electricity and octopus.
Oh, squid.
Squid. I'm made
God,
up of,
God made I'm, me out of electricity and squid.
Squid, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was that sort of got me intrigued. That was like there was another write up of the film, and I say that got me interested. I thought, oh, electricity and squid.
You knew things were going to be a little different in this movie when you heard that line. Huh?
Yeah, I was sort of like, okay, electricity and, you know, because David said, oh, this is a different sort of movie, man. You're gonna like,
yeah,
okay, because
well, you know what's amazing about squid is. A squid, well, you know, we sort of came from single cells, right?
Right, right.
And if you just take some basic chemicals and shoot lightning through, you know, if you start with methane, you know, you can and activate a methane fluid,
right,
with and some nitrogen, and you know, you start to see amino acids in the fluid after you activate it with lightning.
Right.
And, you know, amino acids are sort of precursors for life. And then you see amino acids on asteroids from space and stuff.
Right.
And, but if we, and I believe we did, the fossil records show that we, in 4.6 billion years, we evolved from a single cell, you know?
Totally.
And the squid is kind of like, it's kind of like a single cell with a bolt of lightning in it, you know?
Yeah.
Cruising around. I mean, it obviously has more than one cell. It's not just a single cell. It's a multi-cell organism. But it's kind of like a symbolic bolt of lightning swimming around in the ocean to remind us maybe where we came from, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a lot to a squid, you know, that's kind of cosmic.
Yeah. No, I have to say that... you know, no offense, but that got me intrigued. I was like, okay. I was like, that spells something different. But yeah. Doug, some of the other press I read, that I don't know if you're aware of it or not. One of the headlines was comparing your film to The Room, Tommy Wiseau's film. Are you aware of that article?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that, the comparisons?
Say it again. How did I feel about it?
Yeah, about the comparisons between, you know, the comparing your, saying that your film is the next The Room.
Oh, you know, I when that first happened, that was that Vice article.
Yeah.
And I had not even known The Room. And they told me about it, and then I had never watched the whole thing completely through, but I just, you know, I think it's fine. Whatever the similarities are, or maybe I mean, the bits of The Room I've seen, that, you know, his story is very different and everything. But it seems like they're comparing more that it was a I see what they're saying. It's like a cult, like more like a cult movie kind of a thing.
Right, right.
And that it was similarly, like it's produced by one person who also directed and starred in it and everything like that. But, I mean, I'm fine with that, whatever people say, you know.
Yeah.
Some people don't like my movie. Some people love my movie. And I think everybody can... just express whatever they do, you know. It's like you're gonna get a little bit of everything from everybody, you know, when they watch your movie. Yeah.
Well, that's what it's all about, like you say, with acting and certainly with filmmaking, writing, even with poetry, as you mentioned before. It's all a form of self-expression, you know. Writing is the oldest form of self-expression, and poetry certainly a spin-off of that, you know, poetry, rather, not unlike, well, different to prose. You got room to scream a little bit with poetry. You can move and make the words your weapon. Or
I always thought it was kind of sad when, film acting. I think people, I think theater long ago was very theatrical, right?
Right. Yeah.
And you had actors that, I assume you did, like in the 1800s, that would scream their lines and at a high level of intensity at times. And and then when film came along, there was some of that, and then there was the silent films had a lot of expressive acting in them.
Right.
And then it got to be that the more subtle you were, the better actor you were on film.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
I think, you see what I'm saying? Like,
it
came to that, and you got the movie star phenomenon. But and a lot of those movie stars like that were method actors, you know?
Yeah.
But I think if you really look at it and keep delving deeper and deeper into yourself, you're going to find that those parts of you inside these, you know, we talked about memory, you're going to find some real volcanoes of self-expression inside yourself.
Totally.
And I think it's healthy to delve into those and let those volcanoes erupt.
Totally.
You know, and I think that was left in the theater, and I think I had somebody tell me that you're trying to bring theater to the screen. You can't do that. And well, I said, well, why not? You know, why can't we do that? I did it, you know?
Yeah.
And you have a lot of people trying to tell you that, oh, you know, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do this and do that. And then you realize that you can't listen to anybody if you're an artist. I mean, if you got a paintbrush in your hand, you know, you just paint. You're painting because you really desperately need to paint, because there's something inside you making you paint, and you can't stop painting. And I feel like that when I'm doing like the film or whatever. And then as you do listen to people, then, you know, you're going to end up making a movie just like everybody else has already made.
Well, that's, Doug, if you're going to follow the crowd, then you're just another one of the sheep. But if you venture along the road less traveled, you might end up a shepherd instead of one of the flock. And, you know, there's a lot more room. I mean, history has proven that a man that takes the crooked road, they say that's the road of genius, right?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call myself a genius, but I may be crazy, but not genius.
But no, look, mate, it's a really cool film. I guess we better tell the audience where can they experience The Surfer. What's the best place for them to check out The Surfer?
Right now it's you're in Australia, so I haven't gotten a distribution deal there theatrically yet.
Right.
And it hopefully will come there in the theaters. Right now it's in Hawaii, in Kailua, Hawaii.
Cool.
It's in Ventura, California, Gardena, California, Encinitas,
awesome.
California, Santa Ana, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Fort Collins, Colorado, and New York City and Houston, Texas. Those are sort of the cities it's in.
Right.
In September.
Yeah.
And then hopefully it'll end up in Australian theaters, you know, before too many more months. Cool. It won't be digitally released till deep into 2019.
Okay. Right. And then eventually DVD as well.
Oh yeah, DVD and Blu-ray and all that. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, that's wonderful. Look, Doug, it's been really cool talking to you, my friend. It's been an experience.
Well, I really enjoy you. I haven't had anybody ask me. I haven't had anyone go that deep into the dramatic theory of the movie.
Yeah. Well,
really appreciate it. You know?
Yeah. That's sort of what I got out of it. I know that everyone, like you say, everyone will come away with their own. You know, just like any movie, we all come away with different things. Movies speak to different parts of ourselves, just as art does, just as theater does, just as poetry does, just as music does. It all speaks to different parts of our our personality,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Mm. So yeah. That's.
And I feel real at home with you because you're out there with all those surfers.
Totally. Well, mate, if you're ever down this way to catch a few waves, give us a yell and we'll stop and have a beer or something.
Absolutely. We haven't been to Australia yet. We've been to Bali a few times.
Okay.
But we really want to go to Australia. And Sage has got to get down there and surf some of those contests.
Oh, totally, totally. Yeah, Gold Coast is a spot. Bondi, Bells, all good places.
Yeah. But yeah, we gotta get to Australia.
Totally. Well, mate, if you ever do, I look forward to shaking your hand and saying g'day. And I wish you the best of luck. I hope to. You got any more movies planned? You think another?
I have some old movies that I made that I need to write music for.
Okay.
So I'll try and. My son has reignited the passion.
Okay. Cool.
So I'm lucky to have him. You know.
Awesome. Well, look, you're Douglas Burke, ladies and gentlemen, very talented man. He's a professor. Writer, director, actor, musician. He's a surfer. Man, what don't you do, my friend?
thank you so much, and I love everybody in Australia.
Awesome.
I love you.
Awesome. We love you, mate. Thank you very much for talking with us. And
you too. Take care, buddy.
All right,
okay.
Man. See you later.